Hello, and welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Indignities. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
And Rob, first off, mazel tov to you. I understand that you and your wife are close to having your second child, another little Sachs in the world. And I also understand that's what you'd like to talk about today.
That is right, Mike. We are just 2 months away from welcoming the next little Sachs into our home. And we don't know the gender. We're keeping that a surprise. But we do know that he or she is a pretty good kicker. But what I want to talk about today is the fact that I'm still getting in trouble, Mike, from time to time with my wife, Anna, and that I'm doing some things to annoy her during her pregnancy.
I don't understand. You've been through a pregnancy once. Didn't you learn everything to do and not to do so as not to annoy your wife? How could you still be making these mistakes?
I know. It's shocking to me. I'm like, I should know everything now. But apparently, I've been forgetful. And I'm making some of the same mistakes, I guess, I made the first time around. For instance, Mike, one thing I have been doing is I haven't been so respectful of Anna's need for extra pillows. Now, you know, Mike, I sleep with one thin pillow at night. While Anna, she has her old assortment.
At a minimum, a pillow between your legs, a pillow on either side of you, a pillow to hug, and a pillow under your head, maybe two.
Does it all concern you that you're building a pillow fortress and I'm blocked if I come over to give you a hug or something?
The thing is, I'm not sure what you could do to help me sleep better at night, so I feel like you're just getting in the way of the pillows, if you come too close.
So all you are is the guy who screws up with her elaborate pillow operation over there.
It's insane. I mean, she has long, thin pillows, curved pillows, small. She even has one satin pillow that's supposed to be for her hair. I mean, there is a whole operation going on.
A satin pillow for her hair?
Yeah, because I don't even know. So there's this whole like thing going on the other side of the bed, and I look over and I just see a wall, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I think my wife is over there. I'm just going to let that be. But hugging in the middle of the night is out.
Well, that's because she has her hugging pillow and therefore doesn't need you.
Right. I have been replaced.
One pillow's made for hugging and one pillow's made for the hair. It sounds like a good country song. One pillow's for the back and one pillow goes down there. Oh, I got a pillow for everything. And guess what? I don't need my husband, Rob. He is such a schneeb.
I like that. I'm a schneeb.
You're a schneeb.
All right.
Don't
Great.
Need him. Yeah.
Well, there's another thing I'm learning about. Also, with the bed is that Anna, when she gets pregnant, she has these spidey senses where she can smell things across the room.
Yes.
And this is particularly bad in the morning when we wake up, and this is what she tells me.
Your spouse's morning breath is a huge deal when you're pregnant. I mean, all they have to do is roll over and face you, and you can smell their morning breath. They don't even have to get close. So really coming in for a kiss can be deadly.
Right. So I am made to get up, brush my teeth before I even look in her direction.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you stink. And then it even goes further. I mean, she gets nauseated by open trash cans. She can't do the dishes anymore. Anything close to having at all bad smell, she is totally disgusted. And this is especially an issue at dinner.
I think you just have to also be careful about the foods that you eat around your wife.
What can I eat that I used to eat that you don't like me eating anymore now that you're pregnant?
Fish.
But you bought me fish the other night.
That's true.
You just bought me a whole plate of fish.
Set you up.
And then you said, cook this.
I guess also, you know, just be prepared to be set up by your own wife and then accused of doing something that bothers her.
Right. So she can buy me a plate full of fish, but God forbid I eat it, Mike.
Yeah. Well, that's because the pillows never have bad breath. The pillows don't need fish. The pillows just give her a lot more than you do.
Apparently. But, you know, the other thing is that I feel like I need to be chivalrous because I can't stand it when she's lifting heavy things. But she says she doesn't like to ask for my help. I should just know to be swooping in at any moment and anticipating that she's going to be bending over or picking something up that she shouldn't be. And so I should be staying away when I have bad breath, but swooping in when I think she might be trying to pick something up. There's a tricky balance there.
Yeah. By the way, you got your wife to agree to an interview, but only over the phone. Could you explain that? Why you couldn't do it in person?
Well, I don't know.
Is that about your breath? Is that about the fish? What's going on there?
I think she has this thing where when I interview her, I mean, I have interviewed her in the past, and
yeah.
I'm putting the mic right in her face, and that grosses her out. And she's like, just call me up. We'll just do this on the phone.
All right. So, you know, so far we've been doing a lot of pillow talk, which necessarily takes place in the bedroom. What about out in public? Are there things that you need to be aware of, and I'm guessing there are, that you shouldn't be doing in front of other people because they're so very annoying to Anna?
Well, one thing that is really exciting to me, as especially now that we're in the third trimester, is that I can feel her tummy for kicks, and I'm like, oh, this is so neat. I can just reach over and feel my unborn child kicking and squirming around in there. And I have a tendency to do this a lot because I think it's so cool. But Anna said there is a time and a place for everything and that I need to be aware, especially if I'm lifting up her shirt. Because, you know, sometimes if she's wearing like a big wool sweater, I can't really feel it that well. So I really want to get right on her tummy. And she said, Rob, you got to chill out sometimes with feeling for the kicks.
If you're in a place that you could expose your belly if you weren't pregnant, then I think it's fine.
Like a beach.
Like if you're in a park or something like that, or a beach. But, you know, if you're, like, at the table at a fancy restaurant, probably not the time to lift up and stick your face there.
Mike, I mean, when your wife was pregnant, were you just diving in, sticking your face in during when you're having a nice meal?
No, I wasn't. I think that's a little weird. And now I think I'm coming around to Anna's side of things. No. At first, I thought maybe she was being hypersensitive about the occasional cod. But Mr. touches the belly during a nice dinner. Maybe you're, you know, having smelt and salmon all over the apartment. I don't know who to believe anymore. This seems very reasonable request. Don't touch my belly in nice restaurants.
I know, but the thing is that she gets so excited when she feels the kicks, and she wants me to feel them too. And then when I do it, she's like, "Wait, hold on, dude." You know, so it's yes. Again.
Yes. What about letting you have a daughter, right?
Yes, our daughter Rachel.
Rachel. So what about letting Rachel feel the belly and getting Rachel all excited about these things?
Well, that's really important. I mean, we are really trying to get her excited about being a big sister and getting her into it. Of course, you know, we have to make sure she's careful around Anna's belly so that she's not, you know, pounding her sibling before,
right.
You know, he or she's ready to come out. But that's something we're trying to do, too. And a lot of times, you know, it's, again, a balance of enthusiasm with appropriateness.
So when my advice to you is when your next child comes, bring Rachel to the hospital, you know, it won't be right away, and buy a gift for the new baby to be given by Rachel. So you could even go out with Rachel to pick up the gift, and then Rachel will be giving the new baby a gift. And then, you ready? Have the baby give Rachel a gift. Surprise Rachel with a gift. Look, this is what baby Benjamin has gotten you, Rachel, and then she'll like the baby.
Is that the name of the baby?
I don't know.
Wait, oh, because we just do biblical Jewish names? Rachel and Benjamin?
You tell me.
Isaac? Yeah. Maybe? Aaron? I don't know.
This is what baby Ezekiel has gotten for you.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll do that. All right. You guessed it.
Jebediah has gotten you a huggy bear. What else should we know about keeping on her good side?
The way to go is to try to be there with her. Go to her with her. The doctor's visits when possible. Shop for pregnancy clothes. And educate yourself.
I think it's a good idea to embrace the whole idea of reading the pregnancy books, reading the baby books.
Or maybe you could find something to read and then point it out to me.
And then what? Tell you about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to be so tired at the end of the pregnancy.
Maybe I'll find something and point it out to you.
That would be nice.
Rob, it's just a wealth of knowledge and a lot of pillows to think about, and I just wanted to thank you and thank everyone for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Indignities. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rob Sachs. And Mike, a few notes for our listeners. One, of course, is that you can always check out more of what I'm doing over at the What Would Rob Do website. That's simply whatwouldrobdo.com, where you can comment on the What Would Rob Do blog. And also, you can check out where I have a few book signings come up for, of course, the What Would Rob Do book out now in stores near you. But lastly, Mike, I also want to end by saying that this is going to be my last What Would Rob Do podcast with NPR. It's been 4 years and 100 episodes. And Mike, you've been here with me for many of them, so I thank you for that. But What Would Rob Do will live on. Look for me on iTunes, just not with NPR, and of course on the What Would Rob Do website. But for now, I'm going to actually take a little bit of a break, go on book tour, and of course raise that new baby we've been talking about. So Mike, since you've been with me all these years, I would like you to have the honor of taking us out on this last NPR podcast. Mike, is there a song you think would be apt for this subject, or one you just want to hear in general that we can let the listeners go out on?
Well, Rob, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about another soulful, doe-eyed man named Robbie, and that's Robbie Benson. Robbie Benson has composed much music in his own life, and he's also married to a fabulous singer named Carla DeVita. You may know Carla DeVita as the female vocalist on the Meatloaf song, Heaven Can Wait. So if you remember that song where they speak of a band of angels wrapped up in my heart, that really encapsulates the emotion I'm feeling on this, the last What Would Rob Do under the NPR banner. So, Heaven Can Wait by Meatloaf with guest vocalist Carla DeVita, wife of another famous Robbie.
Mike, excellent pick. And here's Heaven Can't Wait.
No, it can. Heaven Can Wait.
Oh.
Way to ruin it, Rob. Way to ruin the moment. Heaven Can Wait.